This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فبذلك فليفرحوا هو خير مما يجمعون. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, say, it's through the bounty of Allah and the compassion and mercy of Allah. Through that may they find joy. It is better than all that they will possess in their lives. كل عام وأنتم بخير. Now if it's meant as a dua, then I'm okay with it. If it's meant as a statement, then it's false. Because we are not well. We are not bikhair. If it's meant as a dua, which is when I say it, what I mean about, I mean this as a dua. May every year you be in khair, may you be well every year. And that's fine. But if it's meant as a statement, I don't think it's correct if it's a statement. Because we are not well. We are very, very unwell as an ummah and as a community. We are unwell. We have not been well for quite some time. And unfortunately, as the years progress, we become less and less well. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawfiq wa salama. But the reality is that these last 6 months have been probably the least well months of our lives, at least in the last 10 years or so. And after Ramadan, it's really worth taking a moment and reflecting. And sometimes I feel that the khutbah after Ramadan or the timing after Ramadan is probably the most important for us as an ummah in general. Because we are offered the opportunity to reflect and to contemplate and to make some decisions. Ibn Mas'ud would walk out of his house after Ramadan and he would say, أين المقبول فنهنيه وأين المحروم المردود فنعزيه يا مقبول هنيئا ويا محروم ويا مردود جبر الله مصيبتك. He would walk on and say, where is the one who is accepted so that we may congratulate him? Where is the one who has been deprived and rejected so that we may offer our condolences? Oh, the one who was accepted, may Allah grant you the blessing of the acceptance that you have. And oh, the one who was rejected and is deprived, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you a substitution, an alternative for the musibah that you're in. Hasan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say, كل يوم لا يعصى الله فيه فهو عيد وكل يوم تقبل فيه على طاعة مولاك وذكره وشكره فهو لك عيد. Every day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not being disobeyed in your life is a Eid. And every day that you focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's satisfaction, on your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fulfilling your purpose in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for you a day of Eid, a day of celebration. And what we do celebrate during these days of Eid is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's bounty upon us that we were able to get through this holy month of Ramadan. And we celebrate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us the strength to fast it and to pray within it. And He granted us the ability to come to the masajid and to recite His book subhanahu wa ta'ala and to draw ourselves closer to Him. So that's what we celebrate. We celebrate the ability to do that and what it's going to mean for us moving forward afterwards, which is what I want to discuss with you throughout this khutbah. I brought this up around a year ago, and I'm bringing it up again today. I don't see that there is innate value in masajid being full. And I know that sounds really weird, but I don't see it. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls His servants into His homes throughout the month of Ramadan, and masajid get full. But my true belief is that if that does not translate into acts of worship afterwards, if it does not translate into something else, it's almost as if it is evidence that those acts of worship were not accepted. We'll never know for sure until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yawm al-qiyamah whether anything we did was accepted or not. And by the way, everything that you do has that possibility. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our deeds. Say ameen. We have no evidence, really. We have no proof. No, we don't have solid proof ever that your deeds are accepted or not. None of them. Not one of them. There's not one deed that you'll do in the entirety of your life where you could swear that it is accepted or not accepted. Period. And since that's the case, as human beings, as Muslims, we continue to strive until the last moment because we don't know. Maybe everything we did before was just rejected for reasons that are valid, for lack of sincerity and lack of clarity and lack of commitment and lack of grit and lack of love and lack of humbleness and humility, and the list goes on and on. So we don't know. But the scholars have talked about evidence, not proof, evidence, meaning signs that maybe the deeds are accepted. Talk about signs, and this is not something I'm making up. The scholars, they have almost consensus on this issue. Their consensus on the signs of acceptance is the ability to continue afterwards. That is this one of the main signs of consensus of acceptance in the eyes of scholars, is that you're able to take what you did and continue it or translate it into something that is practical, that is pragmatic, that is effective in people's lives, that affects your lifestyle, the change in your decision-making process and your choices in the direction of your life. So when I talk about not seeing innate value in Masajid full, meaning I wait until see afterwards. If that translates afterwards into people actually changing the way they live their lives, I mean, they actually have direction now. They see what is valuable in this world and they're moving towards it. They are trying to satisfy Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to satisfy Him. They are living for the well-being and the best interest of their nation, of their ummah. They're trying to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through serving others. Then yes, I think that these masajid being full meant something. But if they didn't, I mean, if you go back to exactly the way we were before, then I don't know. I think that maybe that's a sign of the opposite. And that is to a certain degree a sign of the opposite. That this didn't do anything. It didn't mean anything. Think about it. How many masajid are there in the Muslim world? Do you realize that most of these masajid throughout, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, were packed. There's nothing impressive about that. All masajid will fill up. People will come to masajid everywhere. But then what? What's the point? So masajid were full. So the imam prayed and there were 50 lions behind him. And people made dua and ammanu and everyone was crying. And then what? If that's where it ends, then it didn't even pick up. If that's where it ends, then I'm not sure that these deeds have made it to the first sky, let alone make it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala altogether. I don't know that these deeds are even making it to the first sky to begin with. I don't know because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't accept people who compartmentalize the deen. And if أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. He doesn't accept someone who takes one part of the deen, but the other part doesn't care about. Yeah, I'll take the rituals, I'll pray. But no, when it comes to actual standing by righteousness or advocating, no, that's too much. Yes, I'll pray throughout, I'll fast and pray throughout Ramadan. But outside of Ramadan, no, I don't do. No, it doesn't work that way. Islam does not work. It doesn't function that way. Not for the individual, and for sure, and definitely not for the ummah, and not collectively. In order for us to have some hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting our deeds, in order for Ramadan to have value for us, we have to make sure that after Ramadan, we are able to use that fuel to allow us to move forward. That's how salah and ibadah has always been seen in Islam. It's been seen as the fuel that you use to continue to carry this message forward. قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو ينقص منه قليلا أو يوسف. Told that at the beginning of his da'wah, pray all night. Half of it if you can't do all night, maybe a bit more, a bit less. But you have to pray. Read the Quran and invocate Allah and make dua. Why? Inna sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqeela. You're going to be carrying a heavy burden of a message. Inna nashi'at al-layli hi ashaddu wat'u wa aqwa muqeela. Indeed, at night, you have that opportunity to stand and speak to me. Why? Inna laka fin nahari sabahan tawila. Because during the day, it's a long swim. You have a lot of work to do throughout the day, so you need your prayer. You need that connection. Ramadan serves as our fuel. It connects you to Allah, to the Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala. It connects you to Allah. And when you're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're more likely to be able to carry His message and do the work throughout the day that happens outside of the doors of masajid. The work that happens outside of the masajid, where the actual work happens. Here I preach to the choir. Here I speak to you. You're Muslim. You listen to everything. You accept what I'm saying because it's Islam. I'm explaining Islam to you and you already know it. The real work happens outside. That's where Islam is practiced. That's where Islam is preached. That's where Islam is advocated. That's where people actually carry Islam. Here in the masjid, you're here to... This masjid are launching pads. Ramadan is a launching pad. It's where you go and you get yourself trained and you support yourself with your community and you feel empowered. You feel energized so that you can take all of that. You can go and you can carry Islam outside. If it ends there, it's like you're going for... It's like taking a training course and then... Throwing this, why? Taking a training course in something and never using it ever again. People do that all the time. It's a complete waste of time. Ramadan serves as that launching pad. That's what we have to see it as. And after Eid, after Ramadan is over, you have to take a moment and think about these things. Of how are we going to make sure that this month is going to be accepted for us? Allow this month to do for you what it's supposed to do. Allow it to influence your decisions and your choices and the way you live your life moving forward. We don't exist in silos in this world. And we definitely don't exist as individuals in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're part of a jama'ah. Whether you like it or not, you're a part of an ummah. You're a part of ummah al Islam, the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You're a part of that ummah. You belong to this group, for better or for worse. For better or for worse, you're a part of this group. You may like it, you may not. It doesn't make a difference. You're still a part of the group. This group either sails together or it sinks together. And that has to be the mentality that you carry in your head and in your heart. That you will live for it. That this is the cause that is worth living for. That all that you do is for that. And without that concept in your mind, I don't know. I don't know what exactly the value of the acts of worship and rituals are. I really don't. Last year, I pointed out 5 things that I thought were the priorities of this Muslim community in the West. I've actually come... more recently to see that it's just one thing and the rest just serve it. There's really just one thing and the rest are just there to help it along. I talked about education. I talked about mentorship. I talked about outreach. I talked about financial centralization. I talked about advocacy. These are the 5 things I talked about. An uneducated ummah will do nothing. A community that's uneducated won't go anywhere. It has to be academically and Islamically properly educated. They have to know their deen. They have to know what they're doing as well. They have to have careers and they have to be able to, they have to have good jobs and have good careers and have to understand the world and have influence in academics and influence in how the world thinks and understands, and also have to know their deen so that they know how to speak in the name of their deen. And we have to make sure that we offer that education to individuals and groups within our society, old and young. It doesn't make a difference. Man and woman, old and young, everyone should be educated. Mentorship. We have to make sure that the baton is handed down. That if you carry the cause of your ummah in your heart, that the next generation does as well. It doesn't die with you. It doesn't end with you. If it ends with you, then there's no point of any of this. It has to be handed down. That requires personal relationship building capacity. That requires you actually taking time and investing in people who are younger than you. Investing in the younger generation and putting up with everything that comes with that. Because that is never easy. It's never been easy. It never will be easy. It's always difficult. It's always a headache. It always takes time. But it's required and it's obligatory upon us to do that. We have to perform proper outreach. Outreach means not just reaching out to non-Muslims to bring da'wah to them, but also to our own society, counterparts. Muslims who don't find their place in the masjid. Muslims who aren't comfortable coming here for whatever reason. Muslims who didn't grow up in masajid. It wasn't a part of their upbringing. It wasn't a part of their culture. But they're Muslim all the same. We need to reach out to them to see how it is we're going to serve them and serve their children. Wealth has to be centralized. We have to, when we make big decisions regarding money, it has to be something that is in the best interest of the collective, not the best interest of one group or a few elitists who have ideas that they want to move through. No, it has to be the interest of the whole group, because we only have the resource of wealth is something that is not infinite, it's finite. You have to make sure that you operate it properly. There has to be awqaf for any community. And we have to have a way to actually support those who want to get married and buy homes and start businesses. Or else, how is it that we're going to empower our own community? And finally, advocacy. Al-Munasara. He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنْ إِسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ فَعَلَيْكُمُ النَّصْرُ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَهُمْ مِيثَاقٌ والله بما تعملون بصير والذين كفروا بعضهم أولياء بعض إلا تفعلوه تكن فتنة في الأرض وفساد كبير. And if your brothers and sisters ask you for nasra, for advocacy, then you offer it, unless they're asking it against people whom you have a covenant with. And in that case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees all. The disbelievers, your enemies, will continue to advocate for one another, and they will stand by one another, and they will have alliances within each other. If you do not, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُهُ, this is regarding إِنْ اسْتَنْصَرُوكُمْ, if you do not offer them the advocacy that they are requesting and that they deserve from you, then fitna will occur, and great corruption on earth will occur. If you are requested to offer your advocacy and your nusra to those who deserve it from you, and you refuse to do it, then fitnatun fil ard, then on earth there will be a fitna, wa fasadun kabir, and great corruption. This is the end of Surah Al-Anfal. I talked about this verse specifically a number of months ago. But this is what he's teaching us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the five fields that I think our community here in the West should be prioritizing. Now, I could be wrong, but I talked about this a year ago, and I only became more convinced of these five because I reviewed them. I reassessed, I met with people, I talked about what could be changed, what could we remove, what should we add to these. And I really didn't find anything else outside of them that is required from us as Muslims living here in the West. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. In attempt to try and bring that full circle, I have put up a QR code. Within this QR code, you'll be able to put in some basic information and a choice of one or two of these fields that you're interested in. I think it's time we put ourselves to the challenge. If you truly believe in what I've been talking about, If this makes sense to you, if you believe that Islam is beyond just rituals, Islam is not just salah and siyam and zakah, as important as those things are in Islam, for sure. No one aqil would say otherwise. But if you believe Islam is beyond that, that there's more to Islam than that, that as Muslims we are required to offer more than that, then let's see what it is that people can do. You got to quickly put in information and choose something, and then we have a list. Within that list, once we have a list of people who are interested in a certain field, we will start organizing meetings. In those meetings, we will talk about this specific field and how you would like to be involved and how to organize the efforts so we actually get something done in a way that is beneficial to the community at large, not just to the people who are congregants in this masjid or within this area of the city. I have come to the conclusion that the one goal of our existence is advocacy. Everything is here for advocacy. We carry fard al-kifaya on behalf of the ummah. We carry this communal obligation on behalf of Ummah Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam to speak on behalf of those who cannot speak, to be the voice of the ones who have no voice. Because if you grew up somewhere in the Middle East, you know that certain things there's limits to what you can do. There are limits, and the governments there are making sure that slowly the feeling, the identity of being Muslim is being pulled out just with time. Just slowly being removed until almost nothing is left of it. And the Muslims in the Middle East don't want that. Most human beings don't accept zulm. Most Muslims in their hearts, even if they're lacking basic practice, even if they're struggling with the basics, they still deep inside would love to see Islam be in a better situation. They don't want to see zulm. They want to see oppression. They would love Islam to be practiced properly and for ethics to resurface again. We know this because we know the people. But they don't have a voice. And they don't have anyone to advocate for them. And you and I exist here, and we have that right. And because we have that right, we have that responsibility. And we carry this as a communal obligation, as a fard kifaya, to advocate on behalf of those who have no one to advocate for them, to be the voice of those who cannot say what they want to say, that you and I have to do that for them. This is our. I don't see any other purpose of us existing here. And I've been contemplating this for 10 years. For 10 years, I never left Syria. By the way, I was born in Richmond Hill. I was born in Toronto. I lived in Syria by choice. I studied there by choice. I stayed in the university there by choice. I got married and stayed there by choice. I did not have to. But I chose because I could not in my mind figure out why would I come here? Why would I leave my country and come here? No offense to anyone here. I didn't know why I would come here though. Why would I leave and come to this country? I didn't see what purpose could that serve. My people are there. The ummah is there. The need for service is there. So why would you get up and leave? I was kicked out. I had no choice. I had to leave or die. So I left. So now that I'm here, why, what am I going to stay here to do? What's the purpose? Just to live. Just to eat and drink. I don't think that's a very, that's not a high function. Siyam makes you rethink all that. Siyam says, here, hold back food and drink. If that's all you're living for, let's hold it back in a bit. Maybe take away that distraction for you for a minute. See if you can think something bigger. See if you can zoom out and take a step back and think again. There has to be a purpose for our existence here. I know that's hard to accept, especially if you're born here. I was born here too. So you lose that argument. Being born in a place does not mean that you don't need a purpose to live there. No, you need a purpose. Living in the Middle East, you needed a purpose to live there. If you were born in the Middle East, you lived there, you have to have a purpose wherever you are. This is not just for people born here. But when you're here, I find that people don't take the time to think about what purpose they serve. They don't. But you always, as a Muslim, you always think, what is my purpose? How do I achieve this idea that I'm a khalifa, that I'm an abd, that I'm here to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do I achieve that? And people living here, advocacy is what we have to do. We have to be that voice. And that's why we have to focus on education. Because the advocates have to be well informed. Because advocates have to be well informed. They have to be confident in who they are. And we have to have mentorship. Because people do not, advocacy is an art, it takes time. You have to teach it. It has to be learned through observation. You have to strengthen people and walk them down this path of learning how to do it. So you need mentorship. And you need to outreach, because the more people advocate, the more likely it is that we get what we want. More people enter Islam, more Muslims who are far away find their way back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more people who will advocate. And the more wealth you have to use for advocacy, as we all know at this point, clearly, we knew this all along, but now it is shamefully clear that money is what speaks. It's not rights. It's not human rights. It's not blood. It's nothing. It's money. You have money, everyone will listen to you and your narrative becomes meaningful. Your narrative, everyone feels sorry for you. All of the crocodile tears fall upon the faces of the lying politicians, the corrupt politicians of the world, if you have money to put in their pockets. Otherwise, your blood means nothing. It's no problem. 30, 33, 35,000. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how many children are burnt and killed and buried under rubble and died and lose their parents. No, because you don't have money. But if you add money, suddenly it matters. Oh, you have money. Then, well, of course, your narrative means a lot, and you'll stand up in front of people and imagine, wallahi, imagine if Muslims were doing a fraction of what that state is doing. A fraction of what they were doing. Wallahi, a fraction, not even one thing. Wallahi, one thing was enough for people to start talking about everyone. That double standard, unfortunately, has nothing to do with concepts, has nothing to do with the principle, has everything to do with money. We are not a poor community. We're not poor in anything. We have numbers, and we have youth, and we have expertise and experience and skill sets. We lack a little bit of willpower in organization. A little bit, okay. We lack a lot of it of willpower on organization and leadership. I'll take that back. We lack a lot of it. We lack a lot of organization and willpower. Unfortunately, we're still stuck with small agenda-driven goals. We're still living in our own little silos. We're still tunnel visioned when we're trying to do things. We're not seeing the bigger picture of what this ummah actually needs. Unfortunately, and I don't know until when that's going to continue to be the case, but it has to change. All of these things, in my opinion, education and mentorship and outreach and wealth will serve advocacy. Will serve that. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-Muslimu fi hadith al-Tirmidhi, akhu al-Muslimi, la yakhdhulu." The Muslim is a brother of a Muslim. He does not turn his back on him. La yakhdhulu, ay la yatruku nusratah. He does not fail to advocate for his right. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith rawahu al-Imam al-Mundhiri bi sanad al-Hasan, ma min imri'in ينصر أخاه في موضع تنتهك فيه حرمته أو ينتهك فيه عرضه إلا نصره الله في موطن يحب نصرته وما من امرئ خذل أخاه في موطن ينتهك فيه عرضه أو تنتهك فيه حرمته إلا خذله الله في موطن يحب نصرته. No person will advocate for the rights of someone else who is being oppressed, whose wealth and integrity and rights are being taken away, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make sure that in a moment where you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's advocacy and strength and power, He will offer it to you. And no one will fail to offer someone who is being oppressed advocacy and strength and power and alliance when they need it, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will wait until you're in a position where you need someone to stand by you, and then He will let you down as you let others down. And His back will be turned on you, and He'll forget you just like you turned your back and forgot. قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. As we were given our signs, we sent our signs. What's happening right now is one of the most glaring signs that we've ever seen. One of the most glaring signs of God we've ever seen is what's happening in Gaza today. what's been happening in the Muslim world for the last 3 decades. It's a sign that is so glaring, and so it's blinding. It's blind. It's worse than an eclipse. Everyone got excited to stare at two objects in the terrestrial coming in front of each other. What about what's been staring us in the, been blindingly staring us in the face for the last 30 years? All of this zulm that's been occurring, and the lack of care, and the lack of commitment, the lack of grit for it all. What about that? You think that think a star and a moon sitting in front of each other just is more impressive to you than a child that's eating grass, or a mother who's mourning her baby, or a father who's lost everything? There's no comparison. That is God screaming at you. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yelling at you, saying, wake up. You need to wake up. You have to get up. You have to start living differently. You can't afford to live like this. You can't. We can't. We can't afford to live like this anymore. Ramadan has to be a point where we make a decision and we turn our lives around. Let Ramadan do that for you, so that inshallah your ibadah, all the time you spent, will be accepted. So it'll be accepted, inshallah ta'ala, because you want it to be accepted. Don't we want acceptance? Anyone here that is sure and confident about their acceptance? And you're confident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted? How do you know? That confidence on its own is arrogance, because you have no, you're stating something you have no knowledge of. I want to be accepted, I know you do too. And if you want that to be the case, then we have to start making some decisions here. And it's not just about filling masajid, it's about actually doing the work. The work happens actually outside of masajid. This is where you come when you're tired. When you're out there fighting and you're working and you're speaking and you're defeated and you've been let down and you're tired, you come here. You come here and your heart finds the solace that it's looking for. It finds that serenity, finds that peace. Huh? When you're out there and you're trying, you're pushing and it's frustrating and there's one challenge after the other and you've fallen down and you've slammed your face on the concrete 100 times and you feel broken, you come to the masjid and you find your heart in the masjid and you find those who stand by you and support you and aid you and strengthen you. That's what these places are for. That's what these places are for. That's what he used them for, alayhi salatu wasalam. When he built the masjid, you always come here. We come, we regroup. We regroup here. We debrief here. We get on the member, we remind ourselves of why we're doing it. We say, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inna kunna min al-zalimin. For you, we will live for you, we will die for you. Everything we have is from you. You take what you want, you leave what you want, and we're happy with it. Just allow us to do something that is in service of you that will make you satisfied. That's all we do. And we come back, and then we go and we work outside. Take a moment, scan it, put your name. Let's see if we can do something. I know this has been tried before, probably many times. Maybe it didn't work out for whatever reason. But it's still worth trying. Getting people's energy and whatever it is that they're interested in doing in the service of their ummah. So that when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they said, I tried. I was good at, I can't do it. I have education, mentorship. That's all I can do. I don't understand money. Outreach is outside of the masjid. I'm stuck inside here. And advocacy, I don't have that. I don't have the skill set for that. You need someone who is much more cool-headed to speak and do these things. Figure out what you're good at. What can you do? What are you interested in? Sign up. Do something. Work with your group. Work with your community. Work to strengthen it. And that's my message for you this week, inshallah ta'ala, to try and move this forward so that we actually have something to share and talk about. Maybe we can, a little bit just a few accomplishments for a community can go a long way in terms of morale. I feel like our problem as Muslims here is that we haven't really accomplished anything that we can be proud of. Say, well, we have a lot of masajid. No one's proud of masajid. And for good reason, because people are like, yeah, so what? So the new masjid. Deep inside, we all know that's nothing. We can't be proud of that. There's nothing there. It's just a new space. You just bought a space, you put a sujud, and you have a guy standing up front yelling at people. It doesn't mean anything. Show me some actual work. Yeah, you run a Quran program. Ah, they run Quran programs everywhere. They're running Quran programs as we speak in Gaza, as they're being bombed. Everyone does that. Show me something else. And now that we see what's happening in the world, we know that something else has to be in the field of advocacy, has to be in the field in getting our rights. And raising our voice and pushing back against a narrative that is evil, that is racist, that is disrespectful, that is double standard. That's what will bring back some morale for us. You want to feel better, you want something for your children to look forward to, look back at and feel good about, then let's do some work. Let's actually achieve something for this nation. Let's achieve something for our community. Let's say that we have strength, we have unity, we have something, we're accomplishing things, we're pushing a narrative forward. And then people start feeling better about it all. And once people start feeling better about it, they'll work harder. And that's where I think we should spend our time. Ikhwani wa akhawati, يعني أنا أطلت في الكلام في غير بلغة أخرى، لكن إذا كنت تفقه كلامي وأنت تتحدث هذه اللغة فوالله لست بحاجة لا إلى كثير كلام ولا إلى كثير وعظ وإرشاد. هذه الأمة أمة مهزومة مهزومة، وهذا لا عيب في قوله. هذه أمة ليست بخير، ليست بخير. إذا قلت كل عام وأنتم بخير، قلها دعاء، أنا أقولها دعاء، أدعو لك أن تكون كل عام بخير هكذا. أما أن أقولها تحقيقا فهذا ليس بصحيح، فنحن لم نكن بخير، لسنا بخير، ولم نكن بخير منذ سنوات، منذ عقود ولسنا بخير. وإذا أردنا أن نكون بخير فعلينا أن نتغير، فعلينا أن ندرك أن هم الأمة يجب أن يحمله الأفراد وتحمله المجتمعات. فإن لم تحمل هم أمتك حمل همك هذه الأمة، إما أن تكون عبئا عليها أو أن تحمل همها، ولا ثالث لهذين الخيارين. إخواني في الله، إذا أردتم أن يعني إخوتي إذا أردتم أن يكون عندكم ضمان أن رمضان قد قبل منكم، لأنه لا شيء يضمن لك أن عملا واحدا من أعمالك مقبول عند الله، يسأل الله سبحانه يتقبل أعمالنا جميعها، لكن ليس ثم الضمانات. وجعل العلماء الأدلة على قبول الأعمال استمرارها بعد الشهر، تحويلها لحياتك، أن تنتقل من إنسان يحيى لنفسه إلى إنسان يحيى لأمته، يحيى لإرضاء ربه، فيجعل طلبه للعلم ويجعل عمله في يعني في خارج المنزل، ويجعل تربيته أولاده في بيته وقيامه بحقوق أهله، يجعل هذا كله ابتغاء مرضات الله سبحانه وتعالى وتقوية لأمته. هذا الذي علينا أن نقوم به، وإن لم نقم به يا أخواني فالله ما أدري ما الفائدة من ملء المساجد. ملايين البشر يصلون وكلهم يدعون، كلهم يدعون، كل الناس. كم تخيل كم إنسان دعا هذا الشهر، كم إنسان رفع كفه يدعو لأهل غزة. الله سبحانه وتعالى لا يستجيب من قلب الله غافل، اللهم تب علينا يا رب، لا يستجيب من قلب الله غافل. هذا القلب الله الغافل عنه البعيد عنه لا يستجيب له، يستجيب من قلب يعني الخشوع ليس فقط في الصلاة، الخشوع في العمر، أن تخشع لربك في عمرك، تحيا من أجله، تحيا وفق أمره سبحانه وتعالى. Think every day about the millions of people who made dua this Ramadan. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts dua from those who are sincere and focused. He only accepts dua from those who are focused and sincere. He doesn't accept the dua from a heart that is distracted and far away. No, no. You have to be living the life. You have to live a life that reflects that which you are asking for and that which you want from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that was a benefit to you. وَعْلَمُ أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر عثمان وعلي، وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات، اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين، وارفع الغم عن المغمومين، وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين، واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين. اللهم فرج عن إخواننا المستضعفين في غزة فلسطين وفي السودان وفي كشمير وفي اليمن وفي غيرها من بلاد الأرض يا رب العالمين. اللهم ردنا أجمعين إليك ردا جميلا. اللهم تسلم منا رمضان وتقبل منا شهر رمضان، وأعده علينا اللهم أعواما عديدة وأزمنة مديدة، والإسلام في عز المسلمون يا رب العالمين. تب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، ولا تصرفنا عن بابك وعن خدمتك بعد هذا الشهر يا رب العالمين. وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقم الصلاة.